Floyd Landis's historic ride in the Tour de France may now be infamous. Mr. Landis has again tested positive for an abnormally high level of testosterone. A second test was conducted on what's called the B sample. That's a backup measure which is taken at the same time as the A sample, which was also positive. Mr. Landis's cycling team, Phonak, has fired him. He also faces a 2-year ban from the sport. The director of the Tour de France says that Mr. Landis is no longer considered the winner of the race, but the final decision rests with the International Cycling Union. If he is indeed found guilty, Floyd Landis will be the first Tour champion in the race's 103-year history to lose his title because of drug allegations. Charles Pelkey is the editor of VeloNews.com. He joins us from KURW in Laramie, Wyoming. Mr. Pelkey, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Based on your experience, and to try and be absolutely fair to all parties concerned, is there any other possible explanation for this positive result?
At this point, there is no explanation being floated, but there is a promise on the part of Floyd Landis's attorney, Howard Jacobs, to challenge the results. He's uncertain that the results are accurate, and he may try to find a natural physical reason for that imbalance in testosterone and epitestosterone.
Mm-hmm. Well, but based on your experience, how faulty can these tests be? Could somebody have played switcheroo with the cups? I mean, any of this stuff.
Well, the switcheroo theory is pretty out there. There are any number of people who are suggesting some sort of tampering, but there's no indication that that's the case, and certainly Mr. Landis himself hasn't raised that as a possibility. There are valid scientific challenges that have been mounted successfully against the TE ratio test, and there are some questions about the validity of the follow-up test, the carbon mm-hmm. isotope ratio test that they performed to verify whether or not that was exogenous or natural testosterone.
Because mm-hmm. this was a terrific spike, right? Because he was tested every day.
Yeah, he was tested 8 times, I believe, during the Tour de France, and this is the only incident out of those tests that indicate a higher than normal TE ratio. I'm loath to say that it's necessarily higher testosterone levels, because there's a possibility that it may have been lower than normal epitestosterone levels, which would have produced the same kind of ratio.
And what do you think about what's been called the Jack Daniels defense, that he had some beer and wine the night before? Beer
and whiskey, yeah. There is a paper floating around out there suggesting that alcohol may have an influence on the carbon isotope ratio test. There are other studies that suggest virtually anything that one consumes can affect that balance. But again, none of that's, you know, the alcohol defense has not been employed with success before, and I don't even recall seeing it being used up to this point.
What about what amounts to a testosterone Mickey? Can they slip that to someone?
It's a possibility, but I that hasn't been raised as a possibility in his defense either.
What are the chances that he can make an effective defense?
Actually, you know, the history of testosterone cases from the anti-doping perspective hasn't been all that great. There have been a number of those cases struck down. Other cyclists and athletes across the spectrum have made very strong challenges against it. Either way, at this point, the case is going to drag on for at least another 4 months, and there won't be a definitive answer as to who actually won the Tour de France until after that process is over.
Charles Pelkey, the editor of VeloNews.com, joining us from KURW in Laramie, Wyoming. Thanks so much.
Thank you.